been a really cool couple of weeks for me. Maybe a few months ago, the Lord gave me a revelation, just a simple revelation on the gospel, just on the cross, His death, His resurrection. And, you know, it really became revelation for me. But how many of you know that if a revelation doesn't lead us deeper into the presence, it just leads us deeper into religion? And we need to... I felt that revelation for me, it kind of just became a little bit stale and almost became a bit, almost religion for me. And then the last about 2 weeks ago, the Lord just started reviving it in my heart again. And then last week, Sunday, in the morning service, like during the worship, I just felt like it was building up inside of me again. I was like, oh Lord, I could preach this right now. I could preach. If Steve doesn't want to preach, I'm willing to preach. And then I thought, okay, that probably won't happen. So like I was like, Lord, how's about an opportunity to preach? And then literally 2 hours later, Steve SMS said, would you be keen to preach next week? So I was like, whoa, that's cool. So I know God hears my prayers, and I know God, Steve hears God, which is encouraging. No, that's a joke. He does hear God, always. My heart is for every single one of us, for the whole church, for me, to experience and live in the fullness of what Jesus did for us. I quoted a scripture earlier where I said, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus died for us. He laid down His life for us. There is so much more to the death and the resurrection of Jesus than we know. I believe we've only just stuck our pinkies into what He's really done for us. And so I just want to try and unpack a little bit of what I believe He's done for us, a little bit of the power of the resurrection, a little bit about the power of His death. And I'm going to use this revelation that God gave me. Okay, it came out of a place of being in the presence of God in home group, and everyone else was rolling on the floor and laughing and crying, and I felt absolutely nothing. But then I went, lay down in my bed, and God spoke to me very clearly. And so that's an encouragement. If you're in the presence of God, guys, don't worry if you don't feel anything. Okay? God speaks. So anyway, this is what He spoke to me about. He said to me, Jesus has always been God. He was the creator of all things. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the visible God. We need to realize that He never had to die and rise again for any form of victory. He always had the victory over the enemy. Jesus was always victorious. He was always God. He could have destroyed the enemy like that. Okay? The problem with that, if He had chosen to do that, we all would have died with Him. Okay? Because we were all sinners and we were all under His control. So Jesus had a better plan. Redeem mankind, destroy the enemy. Best of both worlds. So this is where He came in the flesh. And what I really want to do tonight is just for us to realize what the cross is all about and to learn how to take ownership of it. Because, as I said, Jesus didn't have to die for Himself. Okay? He did not need to die for Himself. It's important to realize that, because then we realize that His death and His resurrection was 100% for us. Every single bit of it was for us. And this is how it worked itself out. He came. He was born of a woman. He came in the flesh. But He was conceived of God. Okay, so He was not born of Adam. He was not born a sinner. He was born holy and righteous. Born of God. Okay? He walked this earth. Never sinned. He was 100% perfect. 100% righteous. The wages of sin is death. If Jesus never sinned, He should never have died. Okay? Jesus should still be walking this earth right now if it was based on what He did only. Okay? So, the only reason He died was because He became our sin. Okay? His death on the cross is because He became our sin. Which means, and not only the sins of believers, He became the sin of all the world. Okay? Every single sin He became. So I just want to dispel right in the beginning that It's His desire to save everybody, okay? It's Jesus' plan to have everybody saved because He died for all the sins of the world. He wouldn't have died for all the sins if He didn't want everyone saved. It's just common sense. Okay. So if He died, if He became our sin, that means He died our death. Okay? When we look at the cross, we can't only look at Jesus, we need to look at ourselves as well. That wasn't His death that He died. It was our death. He died on our behalf. We need to see the cross. We need to see ourselves hanging on that cross, dead. Okay? But what died? We're all still sitting here. We're not really physically dead. It was our old sinful selves that died. He died for the sins. He became our sin. He became sin. And He died for it. That is your sinful nature dead. It is gone. Romans 6 says that if we died with Him, we were buried with Him. His burial was your burial. You have been buried. Your old self is dead, buried, never to come back again. Okay? If you died your death, if you became your sin, died your death, experienced your burial, whose resurrection was it? It was our resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Amen. Jesus was lying in the tomb. God sent His Spirit, brought Him back to life. That same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is the same Spirit that rose you from the dead. We have the exact same Spirit as Jesus. Amen. Okay? It's important to know this. And it's important to take ownership of the cross. And to see the cross as being your cross, your death, your burial, your resurrection. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, before I get there, there's another thing. We weren't just resurrected with Him, we were raised with Him as well, into the heavenly places. If He descended to earth for us, He ascended back to heaven for us as well. And we ascended with Him. Ephesians 2, verse 6, I think it is, says that we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Colossians 3 says, you've been raised with Christ, where Christ, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and you are raised with Him. You are seated at the right hand of God as well. Okay? We're going to get into what all of this means. But I'm just helping us take ownership of what Jesus did. And just realizing that everything He did was for us. It's kind of like this. Jesus up there, us down here, and He just came. Whoosh, took us up. Okay? As I said earlier, He became the sin of all the world, which means that there are actually open heavens over all of creation right now. God is not judging nations. He's not judging any person. He is not wanting to pour out His wrath because He's already poured out His wrath in Jesus at the cross for the sins of all the world. It says He became a mediator of man. Let me read this quickly. It's quite cool. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3 to 6 or so. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men. So He has already given Himself up as a ransom for all men, and He is now the mediator between God and men, which means when God looks here, down to earth, what does He see? Jesus. And He sees all the sins of all the world already punished, and He sees the perfection of Jesus, and He just loves the world. God has nothing but love for every nation. Okay? The destruction that's happening around the world is not God. The heavens are open. God wants to bless every single person, every single nation. The problem is, people don't believe it and they haven't stepped into it. In Colossians 2, it tells us that he disarmed the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. When he died, he defeated sin and death and ultimately disarmed the powers and authorities. Okay? We are no longer under the control of the enemy. Okay? We're actually under the control of God. The problem is we don't believe it, and we're empowering a disarmed enemy because we believe his lies. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan had absolutely no power. He was a serpent. He had no power, like heavenly power at all. None whatsoever. But the moment Adam and Eve agreed with his deception, he was empowered. So the problem with what's happening around the world is that people are agreeing with the deception of the enemy and they're coming under his control. But the heavens are open. All they need to do is step into the finished work of the cross, and immediately they have their reconciliation with God. The reconciliation's already been paid for, but they don't know it, and so that's why they haven't stepped into it. All they have to do is step into it. So our message should be what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, be reconciled to God. We should just go around the world just saying, be reconciled to God. Because that is the message. It's been paid for. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to fight for it. We just have to tell them to do it and let them. They need to step into it. Okay. So what is the power of the resurrection? If we died with him, if we're buried with him and raised with him, what does it actually mean for us? Well, it means everything. It means that we have victory over everything. Absolutely everything. When sin came into the world, a lot of other horrible things came with it. Sickness, poverty, demonic, depression, hopelessness, and a whole lot of other things. Anything you can think of that's not cool came because of sin. Now, sin's been defeated. We have victory over all of those things that came in with sin. It wasn't only sin that was defeated, it was sin and all the hangers-on. Okay? So we have the victory over sickness. Jesus says in Matthew 6 or 8 or so, it tells us that Jesus carried our infirmities and our diseases. All of them. Not only some, not only a few people's cancer, a few headaches, whatever. He carried all the sickness, all the disease of all the world that's ever happened. Okay? He died for it, and he rose victorious. That victory is our victory. He never suffered from sickness. He didn't need it. He didn't need that victory. It was for us so that we could step into it. Okay, so every single sickness in the world, whether the person is saved or unsaved, it's been paid for, it's been defeated. We have that resurrected power living inside of us. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is living inside of us. We have that spirit inside of us, and we can go into any dark situation and tell that situation to fall into line with what Jesus has done. If someone is sick, we can say, you've been defeated, be healed. We have that victory, we have that authority, we are seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. How's this for a scripture? For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Amen. Christ has the fullness of the deity living in him. Fullness of God. Everything living in him. And we've been filled with the fullness of him. Wow, if we believe that. Sure. He is our life. Colossians 3, chapter 4. Now this is a tough one to get your head around. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Christ is your life. Your old self died, and you received his spirit. no more sinful spirit or sinful nature is now the nature of Jesus only. Okay? Problem is, we're in the flesh, and that's why we still mess up, because the flesh is neutral. Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus could have sinned. Okay? He was tempted many times. He could have given into it. He didn't, because he was holy. But he could have, because the flesh is neutral. And we're in that same situation where we have that same spirit, same flesh. Problem is, our flesh has been tainted by the sinful nature that lived in us. And we've created bad habits, and we haven't learned how to handle it all. What was I saying? Christ is your life. That was actually going to be my title, and I can't even remember talking about it. Okay. So, yes. We're in the flesh. That is neutral, but everything else is godly. Everything else is righteous. Everything else is holy. We need to learn to believe that. That will change the way you live. Ephesians 4:24 says, "And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The new self has been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. When we believe that, we will live it. Problem is, we don't believe it. We still think we've got a sinful nature, which is so not true. And the moment we start believing this truth, that we're righteous and holy, we will live righteous and holy lives. And that is the only way to defeat sin, by the way, by believing this message. Amen. If you want to defeat the power of sin in your life, believe this truth. The moment you try on your own efforts and think it's because you've got to come under the law and do this and that, you're going to stay there. And you're going to probably go deeper. Believe that your sinful nature is dead. You have a new nature inside of you, and you will live. Jesus didn't just come to forgive us of our sins. He came to take away the power of sin. Okay? He didn't just... It's like you have a guy in prison who's found guilty of something, and then goes to court, and they say, okay, he's not guilty, but he still needs to stay in prison. Like, that would be stupid. Okay? It's kind of like saying to us, you're not guilty of sin anymore, you're forgiven, but keep sinning. It's cool, keep sinning. That's silly. Why would we want to? Sin's destructive. God knows that sin is horrible. It's going to mess us up. It's going to prevent us from living the abundant life. Don't keep living in it. Keep living His way. Allow His Spirit to live inside of you. Believe that you've been changed and made holy. And yeah, everything will change. Okay, where should we go from here? I wrote some cool things down. I'm just going to... Okay, here's a cool thought. If we have the resurrected power living inside of us, because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, the full victory of the resurrection is living inside of us. And like I said, the sins of all the world and the sicknesses of all the world have already been defeated. We can go and just demonstrate this power. We don't have to fight for it. We can just demonstrate it. We can just go and proclaim, you are healed. We've been given that authority. I think that's where I was trying to go earlier. We've been given the same authority that Jesus has. You know, when Jesus sent out the 12 and he said, I give you authority to go heal the sick, cast out demons. That authority wasn't only given to 12 people. Okay? Because 3 chapters later, if you look in Mark, some other random dude is casting out a demon in the name of Jesus. And the disciples go to him and say, you can't do this. Stop. And Jesus says, if he's not against us, he's for us. Which tells me that when Jesus gave authority, he didn't just give it to the 12. It was just a, he has authority. Anyone who wants to believe it, you got it. So we need to learn to believe it. And we don't have to do anything. It is done. Jesus said, it is finished. Everything is finished. The victory has already been won. All we have to do is believe it and proclaim it. Okay? Is this helping? Cool. So why do many people remain sick and remain under the influence of the enemy? It's simply because they're not stepping into what Jesus has done for them. Okay, so we need to learn to see ourselves as we would see Jesus. When you look to Jesus, when Jesus reveals himself to you, he is revealing who you are as well at the same time. Okay? He's given you his life. You are a Christian. Okay? That's a little Christ. You're one with him. You're in his body. Okay? My head, this is all one body. Okay? No one looks at me and says, hey, there's a hand, there's a head. It's like, there's Peter. Okay? I'm part of the body of Christ. I am one with Christ. Okay? Ephesians 5, I quite like this as well. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit, but just trying to make a point that we are one with Jesus. You know the cool passage of Scripture that talks about wives and husbands? And at the end it says, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Paul goes on to say, this is a profound mystery, but I'm referring to Christ and the church. Or I'm saying that it's referring to Christ in the church. Christ left his father and came and united himself to us. We are now one with him. As he is, so are we in this world. Okay? We need to learn to believe this. It's not us, it's him living in us. Christ in me is the hope of glory. He's transformed me into his image. It's all him, all glory to him. Okay? We in ourselves are nothing. We deserved that first death. Okay? The death that he died, we deserved it. But because of his great love for us, he's given us of himself, and he's made us like him. How do these truths change some of the key things that we do? Okay, 5 more minutes. Just want to discuss a few practical things. How I mentioned how it changes our behavior. If we believe that we're holy, we'll live holy, right? I don't need to talk much more about that. How does it affect the way we pray? Knowing that we're raised with Christ, seated with him in the heavenly places, all the resurrected power living inside of us, how does that affect the way we pray? Do we pray for victory? It wouldn't make sense to me because the victory's already been done. And one, we pray from victory. We don't beg God. We just got to proclaim it. What's already done. What's happened to me this last week, I've just had such like a revelation on this. I've never been a great prayer, I'll be honest. But this has just changed the way I pray because I know that there are going to be results. Because when I see myself, or if I'm praying for someone, I don't picture myself praying for them. I picture Jesus praying for them. If Jesus was praying for somebody, what would the result be? Like that. Would he beg? Would he get on his knees and say, oh God, please heal this person. Please heal this person. He'd just say, be healed. Move on. It's done. Prayer is not begging God for victory. It's proclaiming his victory. And when we pray for nations, remember, he's not judging nations. We don't have to pray, God, have mercy on this nation. Turn your wrath aside. This nation is worshiping pagans. We don't have to do that anymore. Okay, we just got to speak the blessings. The blessings of God. If you want to pray for something, pray that the people will step into what God has done for them. Okay? It's done already. What about praise and worship? This is a cool tool to keep us living in this place. Praise and worship should be a lifestyle, and it helps us focus on Him and what He's done for us. Just back to Colossians quickly. It says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When we praise and when we worship, we are setting our hearts and our minds on things above. There's a scripture, I don't know where it is, it says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. If we are struggling, feeling a little bit down, praise takes us back up to that place in our minds. We're always there. Our spirits are still there. Okay, nothing's changed. But praise changes our mindsets and it takes us back to the place where we actually are. Praise lifts the atmosphere. Generally, praise is just giving thanks to God, just thanking Him for what He's done, reminding ourselves of what He's done. And then worship sustains that atmosphere. Worship takes us deeper into Him. Praise gets us back up there. Worship gets us closer to Him. I kind of picture it like this. We're standing here. God's up there. Praise gets us there. Worship gets us there. Worship is loving God. It's loving God for who He is. And it just teaches us to grow closer, get closer, learn His heart, find out what His heart is saying. Okay, how does this, the fact that we're in Christ, seated in Him in the heavenly realms, we have His resurrected power living in us, everything Jesus has, we have, everything He is, we are, how does it affect our giving? Somewhere, I couldn't find the scripture, but somewhere it says, Paul says to one of the churches, he says, you are rich, you have everything. I don't know if you guys know where that scripture is, but it's somewhere. I've read it before. And if we have everything, we can afford to be generous. We can afford to give because we're giving out of abundance already. We're giving out of that place of having everything. We've got to realize that Jesus is our provider. We also, okay, I know we've got to exercise wisdom. Don't give away everything you have so that you're going to have to go live under a bridge. Okay? Be real. Use your head. But He's our provider, okay? Not our labor, not our employer. Jesus is your provider. Worldly riches are meaningless when you know the riches you have in Him. You are rich in Him. You have everything. You have every spiritual blessing in Him. We don't have to go after worldly riches because we have everything. If He gives them to us, bonus. But they don't mean too much, okay? This is a cool one. How does it affect evangelism? Well, if Christ is in us, the Bible says that we're His representatives. We're His ambassadors. When we go somewhere, we're representing Jesus. Evangelism can't be a formula. It needs to be an introduction to a lover. The lover inside of you needs to be introduced to the unbeliever. They need to be introduced to the lover inside of you, rather. Okay? He goes with us, wherever we go. It's not about us. Evangelism's not about us. It's not about what we say or what we do. It's about the other person and Jesus inside of you. You are just introducing the other person to the one who lives inside of you. And we need to learn to release His powerful love over His future bride. So a lot of the prophetic words that came through earlier, like we've been clothed in robes of righteousness, we have His gold, what were some of the other ones? His love, it's the river, it all speaks, well, it all comes from this place of taking ownership of the cross for yourself, receiving it for yourself. The robe of righteousness is Jesus Himself. His righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. And we are now in Him. Therefore, we are also the righteousness of God. Okay? He is righteous. He is our righteousness. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm actually pretty much done. Colossians chapter 3. You should read Colossians. It's very cool. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That last verse, I think, is talking about the end times, but I kind of think it's a bit of now as well. When Christ appears, you'll appear with him in glory. He's in glory. If he appears to you, you're going to appear with him in that glory. Quick summary. We died with Christ. He died our death. Our sinful nature's dead. Okay? Sin is dead. It's dealt with in your life. You will never be judged for sin again. Ever. If Jesus died for all the sins of all the world, it's done. Okay, it would be double jeopardy if God judges you as well. You'd have to apologize to Jesus. It's the truth. If you died with him, you're buried with him, and you were raised with him. You are seated in heavenly places, every single one of you. You're seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. Above all rule and authority, you are now seated above the enemy. He no longer has control over you. Okay? He can influence you if you agree with him. Just don't agree with him. Don't believe his deception. That's why it's important to get into the Word, eh, guys? Know what the Word says, because this is where the truth is. The Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. When we read the Word, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to reveal the inspiration behind the Word as well. Okay? It's more than just words on a page. There's something behind them. And we need to trust the Holy Spirit to reveal that. Okay. So we all agree there's so much more to life. Okay? There's a resurrected life that we're all called to live. And we need to live it. We just need to step into it. Okay? You can be saved for 1 hour or 30 years. We all have it. It's got nothing to do with what we've done. It's got everything to do with Jesus and what he did. The moment you believe it, that transaction happened for everybody. Old self dead, Jesus' spirit given to you. His nature given to you. Done for everybody. We're all in the same position here. We're all in the same boat. We all have the same nature. That's if you've accepted Jesus. Okay. I think it would be wrong if we just closed there. If anyone has not accepted Jesus and is not in this place and is not sure that your old self is dead and you've been given his nature and his life inside of you, anyone keen to accept it? Anyone keen to receive Jesus right now? It's the abundant life. Okay, cool. We're all there already. Nice. Okay. Anyone sick? We have victory. It's simple. We have the victory. No, that's from crying, not from cold or flu. If anyone's sick, stand. Anything. Don't all stand at once. Okay. Anyone else? It's not scary. But that's cool. It's good that we're all living in that place already. Eh? We don't need healing. Okay, the person next to you, or the two people next to you, whatever, if you can just put your hand on their shoulder, and you're going to pray for them because you have the same victory in you. So just speak it over them. Just speak the life of Jesus over them. Just speak the victory of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that you've defeated sickness. You carried our sicknesses, our diseases. Lord Jesus, you died for it and you rose victorious. And you've given us that victory. That resurrected power is living inside of us. And Lord, we just proclaim it right now, Lord. We just proclaim it right now, Jesus. And every sickness will leave right now in Jesus' name. It has to submit. It has to submit to the name of Jesus. That's cool. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All glory to you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for those who didn't stand, who are still not well, we just speak your healing, Lord. We speak your healing over every person here, Lord. We just speak your continued health over every person here, Lord. Help us to live in that place, Lord, of your divine health. Do you want to pray? Okay, for those of you who are not sure of what's happening there, God just touched her. And when God touches us, anything can happen. We don't always understand what happens. Some people shake, some people laugh, some people cry. Different things happen. When God touches us, we just need to trust Him. The things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. They're not understood with the mind. Go for it.
Lord, when you're standing at the cross, you looked down and you saw poverty and you said it's finished. And now we're just taking you by your word, Lord. This poverty is finished. Those people who've got businesses, Lord, we ask you to just raise them up in your name. Those people who just need finances to go and hear your word, Lord, overseas, we just ask you to grant those finances now in your name. The people that want to go to Hong Kong, that is just done, Lord, it's finished. You've got it done for them. The finances are coming supernaturally. It's not going to be their work. It's only going to be through you, Lord Jesus. And they're going to know that it's through you. And those finances that are coming through into this church, Lord, to grow this church and to spread the word, Lord, it's only going to be done supernaturally, Lord Jesus, in your name. So when everybody who gets the finances, they said, I didn't do anything, it was through Jesus. So your name can go out and then people can come in here and they know that it's your hand that has touched this church. Your hand that has grown this church. Your finances, Lord, that the elders and the deacons and the pastors can rest in you because you are just going to provide so much for them, Lord. They are going to be covered supernaturally with their finances. Houses are going to be sold in your name, Jesus, right now, so those finances can come through. The youth can go overseas. The pastors can go to Hong Kong. They're going to take so many people with them in that plane to see what is going on overseas so they can come back and spread that word from overseas right in this church. Steve Wheeler and Janet Wheeler are going to have abundance and abundance and abundance. Right over here, abundance is coming into your lap, Sherwin. Abundance, I just see abundance coming through for you and Anne. And right here, Corrine and James, just put your shoulders on Jesus, because he said, it's done in my name. Those finances are only coming through supernaturally and not through your work. The youth are going to go over through you. Through your finances are coming to you. You are going to be giving as a blessing some people to take with you. Some people that are not in that position, you are going to say, you're coming with me. That is the giving that you are going to learn how to give through these finances that are coming through you. Other people here that are not going, I just see gold all over this floor, guys. The other people here that are not interested in overseas are suddenly going to get such a heart for these guys to go, they're going to be pouring money into their finances. Supernaturally, people here that got their businesses are going to be giving. And the more they give, the more God's going to give you, guys. The more you give to these guys here, look, I have nothing to do with the church. So, I mean, like, I'm not asking you for money. I'm just telling you what God's telling me. These guys here with money, the big business is here. You're going to give to these guys. You're going to give it, and you're not going to know why, because God's got so much more for you. The houses that you want sold are going to be sold. Those people need new homes are moving. It's going to happen in such a concentrated, if now, it's not 3 years, guys. It's 3 months. Lives are going to change radically here. God has said, your power and authority that you've got is in your hand now. You're going to walk out from this message here. You're going to walk out with that authority and say, Jesus, in your name, I need 30,000 rand this week. And Lord, James and Corinne are going to get it. That is just what God is just telling me. Sherwin is going to be so blessed with Anne, they're not going to worry about anything anymore. Their life is going to be only in this church, nothing else. Look out there, you're going to be blessing a lot of people. I don't know who you are, but you are. The guy with the blue shirt, you're going to be blessing a lot of people. Thank you, Jesus.
That was amazing. We're not preaching prosperity message, by the way. We're not. We're just preaching Jesus. Most of what I said tonight is out of Romans 6, Colossians 2 and 3. If you want to go and study it up for yourself, you can. What do you want to do? Okay, cool. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this glorious gospel. We thank you for what you've done for us by sending your Son to take our place, that we can take his place. We thank you for your mercy that was poured out upon him in his death, and we thank you for your grace that was poured out upon us in his resurrection. God, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We give you all the honor and all the glory, Jesus. All the honor and all the glory to you, Jesus. You are our lives. We are nothing. You are our everything. You are our everything. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ alone. Christ alone. Lord, I just pray for just that spirit of wisdom and revelation once more, Lord. Just that each and every one of us will be able to grasp this message, Lord. And Lord, I pray that it won't just become knowledge, Lord, but I pray that it will take us deeper into you, Lord. Deeper encounters with you, Jesus. We don't want religion. We don't want knowledge. We want love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.